We are all part of a team. Now, we have our team that works together here to run our church, and our board and our staff are doing an incredible job. But see, the thing is, every one of you are part of the team. You're part of the team, and God has called you to a position in some capacity to bring glory and honor to His name, to do something for the community, and most importantly, to His kingdom. And I want to spend a little bit of time today talking to you about being part of the team. By the way, I'm thrilled this morning. I'm thrilled because we have one of the families that we helped sponsor. They're with us this morning, a family from the Congo. They're just sitting in the back. If you want to give them a hug, not now, okay, don't do it now, okay? But later on after the service, give them a big hug and welcome them. It's great to have them there. We're all part of a team no matter what place that we come from. And I wanted to take a look at a portion of scripture found in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Why don't we stand as we read God's word together? This is what it says, Titus 2, 11 to 14. New Testament and closer towards the back. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Father, thank You. Thank You that You've called us to be part of Your eternal team, that You have chosen us, that You have a plan for each one of us, a position for each one of us to play, and I pray that we would do it well and that we would bring glory and honor to Your name. So guide us now as we look into Your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, as we look at getting into the game that God has called us to, it starts with being called to be part of the team, a call to play. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I didn't often get called right away off the bat for a team. So here's the way it worked, right? You remember this, some of you. So you had all the kids line up against the wall, and you had two captains, right? And so they would pick players, and so they would pick all the best jocks, first of all. Then they would pick the people that weren't really jocks. Then they would pick the kids that were on crutches, and then they'd pick me. And so I often wondered, why in the world didn't I get picked right away? And I thought, well, it could have been, possibly because I spent most of my time in the library. And see, I think everybody should do this. I think this is completely normal, okay? So I would read books, and then I would have another little notebook where I would categorize the books that I read. So I'd write down the names, and I'd write down, I rated them from 1 to 10 or whatever it was. So if I'd ever go back, I'd go back and read those books. I think that's a good thing, right? Maybe that's why they didn't pick me. Maybe they didn't pick me because when I did play on the field, many times I'd be tripping over my old feet, and of course you heard the story of that time when I was playing goalie and I wasn't watching and I went right into the goalpost and knocked myself out cold. That could be why they didn't pick me. But anybody been there where you seem to be like the last picked? Am I alone? I see those hands. I see those. God bless you. I feel your pain. Honestly, I do. But see, here's the incredible thing about this verse of scripture. It says that God chose us. God chose you and I to be part of His team. I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people. Did you get that? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Back to Titus, it says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. I love that word, grace. It doesn't mean saying a quick prayer before dinner. It doesn't even mean my favorite of the Hovises, the favorite lady in the Hovis family, Miss Grace Hovis here, beautiful person. That's not what it's talking about. Grace, what it means here, it means that God gives us what we do not deserve. God gives you and I what we do not deserve. See, we didn't deserve, I didn't deserve to be called to play on God's team. I didn't deserve to be called to be one of his people. But see, God looks at us and says, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you. Individually, he named us to be part of his team. Now, that's pretty cool. The grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, is what it says here in Titus chapter 2. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, I took a group of teens on a trip. We went up to a place called Gitnyau, which is up around Smithers area, and we spent some time there working with the kids and spent some time playing in the water and doing different things, different activities. One of the things we did is that we would jump off of a bridge into this water. Now, I'm thinking that when we gave out the parental consent forms, that wasn't on it. So I apologize to those parents whose kids jumped off the bridge into this water. We were having a great time. What happened was, if you look at the far right corner, it gets to be a very deep area right in that corner. Very, very deep. And we were playing in the water, and there were some of the kids that were playing in the water. One little guy was in the water, and he was playing, and he stepped into the deep area of the water, and down he went. Now, he couldn't swim. Underwater, it's really hard to scream. It's really hard to do anything when you find yourself in that place. We took with us at that time one gal who was a lifeguard, and Raquel was her name. You can go to the next slide. And Raquel, without thinking, she went and quickly ran into the water, grabbed that little guy, pulled him out of the water, and pulled him to safety. She was that little guy's salvation. She was the one that saved that little guy, because there was nothing he could do to get out of that situation himself. See, the reason I tell you this story is because every one of us, at some point in time, found ourselves in a deep pit. We found ourselves drowning, maybe not in water, but drowning in the sin and the things around us that are evil. And we found ourselves in a place where we could not, under any circumstance, do anything for ourselves to get ourselves out of there. We could try, but it was not enough. It says here, the grace that brought us salvation has appeared to all men. And it says in verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, he, Jesus, gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. See, we couldn't do it. We couldn't get out of that place. But God sent Jesus. I am so glad God sent Jesus. I mean, I am thrilled because I was in that pit. I was in that place, and I know every one of you can say the same thing. And Jesus says, man, I want that individual out of that place, in a place of freedom. See, the point is, folks, that every one of us, if you can use your imagination for just a minute, we're standing before a judge, and the judge is God Almighty. And he looked at all of us, every one of us, of course, me included, and said, you know, Wes, you messed up. You messed up, but bad. You've done things that were contrary to what I want for your life, and you've had unjust attitudes, evil thoughts, you were uncaring, selfish, the list goes on and on and on. And every one of us standing before God is guilty. Every one of us. And then Jesus said, God, just a minute. Just hang on a second. I know he's guilty, but you know what? I'll take the punishment. I'll take it. And I want you to stop and just If you can comprehend what Jesus did for you and for me, we did not deserve it, but he took our place, it says in Scripture, in the Bible, so that we could have a relationship with God. God called you. God called you to be part of his team. He personally named you to be part of that team. And I'm wondering, are you in it? Are you playing your position? Are you playing it well? Are you doing what God has called you to do? We've all been called. But there are rules, secondly, there are rules to this game. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not an athletic guy, but I do like to watch sports. Anybody with me? Anybody like watching sports? One or two of you, okay? Just that's it? We're a very unsportlish group of people. Okay, I see those hands. We enjoy. I love watching, you know, soccer. I think probably because my wife comes from Brazil and spent a lot of time in Brazil, and so I actually have no choice. But I do enjoy soccer, and I like the Vancouver Whitecaps. Can you imagine again? And I've used this before. Can you imagine if there was a soccer game without rules? Now, let me ask you this question. Does anybody know where soccer started from? Anybody, any ideas? Ghana. No, it didn't. Nice guess, though. So, they're good over there, but some say that it originated in Egypt, some say in China. There was a game that was played by the Romans many years ago called Harpestum. You can go to the next slide. I can't even pronounce this. Next slide talks about Harpestum. Okay, there you go. It's a game that was played by the Romans many, many years ago, and it's a game that is still played today. Sort of a soccer game, and it's played in Florence, Italy to this day. Now, the thing about this game is there are no rules. There are no rules in Harpestum, or however you pronounce it. Actually, violence is an inherent part of this game. There's 27 players on each side, and during a game, there will be, that's a lot of players for one field, and at each game, at least 10 to 15 people will get injured, okay? So can you imagine? Half your team's probably going to go down in some capacity. What a great game. And you know, the crazy thing about this game is that they don't even get paid to play this game. They just play it for fun, and whoever wins, they go out and they have a big banquet in their neighborhood. So it's quite an interesting game. Actually, I've got a little bit of a video that shows some of this game. So you want to fire that up there?
Deve buttare la palla dentro la rete. I giocatori dovevano essere 27 per parte.
È come sapere da andare a fare una cosa che ti può far male e comunque andare a farla.
Il gioco è molto maschio, molto duro.
È molto difficile costringere le persone a fare una cosa a pagamento. Quando invece è il proprio cuore che le porta e sono disposto a fare qualsiasi cosa.
I'm wondering how many of you are going to sign up for that game? Any hands? I don't see any takers. I tell you one thing, I'm probably not going to be signing up for it either. Incredibly brutal, brutal game. So why, by the way, I mean, one day I'm going to look like one of those guys. I'm working on it. Can you see it? Anyway. The reason I show you this is because where there is no rules, there's chaos. Where there are no rules, we have a real problem, don't we? Can you imagine no rules on the road? Can you imagine no rules in marriage? Can you imagine what would happen if we just all did what we wanted to do? The chaos. See, God gives rules, and this is what it says in verse 12 of Titus chapter 2. We are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Godless living is anything that separates us from having that relationship with God. Those things that are contrary to what God wants from us. He says, man, I've got rules for you, and I have things not to hurt you, but to make the game something you can enjoy and others can enjoy. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't feel comfortable playing harpsichord. It probably wouldn't be a fun game. And I don't think it would be comfortable if we didn't live in the parameters that God has set up for us as well. The ultimate place, the ultimate reason, if you look at it, is that we would enjoy the love and justice of God. He says we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. And that's not sinful pleasures is not taking a piece of chocolate cake and eating a piece of chocolate cake that's sinful. It's talking about real sinful stuff, though to some people that may not be, that may be sinful. Galatians chapter 5 says, when you follow the desires, sinful pleasures is this, when you follow the desires of your sinful natures, the results are clear. It's sexual immorality, it's impurity, it's lustful pleasures, it's selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I said before, that anyone that lives that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. God says, you know, I want you part of the team. There are rules. And if you don't follow them, it'll lead to things like this. And it's really, really easy for me to say, well, you know what? I'm not indulging in sexual immorality, or I'm not indulging in drunkenness. But are there areas in my life that I need to really guard against so that I'm living in a way that honors God? He says he instructs us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. And if we don't, folks, if we keep doing things that are godless, there will be results. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life I'm tempted. Anybody with me? You're lying. You all should be putting up. There are times where I'm at the gym in the morning, and there's a guy sitting on the machine, and he's been there for 15 minutes, and this is part of my routine. Yeah, that's it. So I want to get to that machine, and he's been sitting there. I'm thinking, buddy, get off your cell phone and get off the machine, and I'm thinking of those barbells on the other side. I'm thinking, what would happen if I dropped one on his toe? And you know, there's times where I'm at a restaurant. I'm being honest, transparent, okay? I'm at a restaurant, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but I'm at a restaurant, and the girl that's serving me, she's doing just a horrible job. She doesn't show up when I want my food. I'm sitting there waiting forever to order, and when I order, the food is cold, and it's just a mess. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I'm thinking, I'm not tipping you. I'll tip you, all right. I was thinking things that I shouldn't be saying. Or you're in traffic. You're in traffic. Okay, you know this one, right? And somebody is they are in an incredible hurry, so they cut you off, and then they slow way down. Has that ever happened to anybody else but me? Again, you guys are lying. And you want to lift up a finger and just kind of show this beautiful finger and how well you've trimmed it. Yeah, anybody ever been there and wanted to do? Now that's not a good thing to do. I'm thinking, if I don't tip the girl the tip that I should, she's probably a friend of one of my kids, and she's gonna tell on me. And you don't want to be told on onto your kids, and they harass you. I'm thinking that the guy that dropped the barbells on his toe, he probably wrestles hippos on his off you know time, and he probably pummel me. I'm thinking that if I did something to that person in traffic, they probably will show up to church the next Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? Why do I tell you that? Because, folks, we need to be very careful how we live. We need to be careful how we react to different situations. Verse 14 says, Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that is his very own. Listen to what it says, eager to do what is good. Are we eager to do what is good? Do we look for opportunities to do good for others? Because that's what God wants on his team, people that are eager to do that which honors him. The results of this play, it says in verse 13, it says, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Have you ever looked forward to something, like really looked forward to something? Right? Maybe as a kid, it's Disneyland. You're looking forward to going to Disneyland and standing in lines of 2.5 hours long to go on a 30-second ride. Hallelujah. Right? And you're looking forward to the Magic Kingdom. Or for me, someday, God's going to give me an opportunity to go to Haida Gwaii. Hallelujah. And do some serious fishing in Haida Gwaii. It's coming. It's coming. I remember when Michelle and I, we went to Nicaragua with a group from the church. And the night before we went, we didn't even sleep, right? We were so excited about going. You ever been there where there's something you just can't wait to go? Now listen. Listen to what it says here in Scripture. We look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. See, folks, there is a day coming. Yeah, there is a day coming when Jesus will return to this planet. And he's going to take us home. And you know, we're going through our challenges, we're going through our difficulties, but he's going to take us to be with him. And it says he will reward all those who long for his appearing. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 says there's a crown of righteousness waiting for us. Listen, it would be great to have a gold medal. That would be fun. It would be great if we actually got the Stanley Cup in Vancouver. You got to really fast and pray for that one. But it's going to be incredibly awesome someday. And God looks at you and says, you know what? I was hungry. And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. And you will say, Lord, when did we do these things? And Jesus will say to you, whatever you did for the least, you've done it unto me. And he will say, enter in and receive your reward. See, folks, we've been called to a team, every one of us. And there is a prize at the end of this journey. That God has promised his people that are faithful to him. And I want to close by asking you, I'm going to call Pastor Lucas and the team up. I want to close by asking you, first of all, God's called you, but you have to be willing to receive from him. You have to be willing to say, God, I know I messed up. I know I've sinned against you. You have to be willing to receive his forgiveness and ask for it. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't asked God to forgive you of things in your life, I want you to take time to do that today and say, God, forgive me. I want you to be in my life. I want to commit my life to you. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that today.